Hi, this is Dr. Pedro Ramirez, Editor-in-Chief of the International Journal of Gynecological Cancer. And today I have the great pleasure of interviewing for this podcast my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Giorgio Bogani, who is at the National Cancer Institute in Milano. And the reason for this podcast is the review, an excellent review on mirvetuximab, the first antibody antigen drug conjugate in advanced or recurrent ovarian cancer. Giorgio, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Pedro. It's a pleasure for me to be here for the International Journal. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Thank you. And again, as I said, a really great read, and I really encourage all of you to read this article. I wanted to start by talking about, folate and the folate receptor alpha. How do these factor into cancer progression?
Basically, humans are unable to synthesize folate. Folates represent vital component essential for embryonic development, DNA replication, methylation, and nucleotide precursor synthesis. Folate receptors work allowing the internalization of folates into the cells. Non-malignant tissue have limited folate receptor expression. And it is interesting to know that folate receptor alpha is typically expressed in the fallopian tube, but not in the ovary, aligning with the theory that epithelial ovarian cancer originates mostly from the fallopian tube fimbriae rather than ovarian cells. Remarkably, folate and folate receptor alpha play a crucial role in the cancer progression. While targeting folate is not a novel concept, as seen with pemetrexed or methotrexate targeting intracellular folates, the innovative aspect lies in targeting folate receptor alpha. Substantial evidence indicates that various solid tumors, including ovarian cancer, exhibit folate receptor alpha overexpression. Approximately 80% of ovarian cancer express folate receptor alpha, while high level of folate receptor alpha is expressed in about 35-40% of cases. Notably, elevated folate receptor alpha expression serves as a risk factor for developing cancer progression and chemo resistance. Therefore, targeting folate receptor alpha presents a unique opportunity for managing ovarian cancer and other solid tumors.
Great. Thank you for that excellent introduction, Giorgio. And tell us now, what is mirvetuximab and how does it work for those in the audience who may not be familiar with it?
MIRV is a first-in-class ADC targeting folate receptor alpha. Mirvetuximab comprises a folate receptor alpha binding antibody, a cleavable linker, and a maytansinoid DM4, a potent tubulin target agent. When the ADC binds the receptor, mirvetuximab is internalized, and DM4 is released into the cells. DM4 leads to cell cycle arrest and apoptosis, and it's also able to diffuse into neighboring cells and induce further cell death through the bystander effect. Basically, the bystander effect refers to a phenomenon where the adjacent cells, which may not be the primary target of the ADC, also experience a therapeutic effect. This bystander effect is observed when the cytotoxic payload released by the ADC has the ability to diffuse to nearby cells, impacting their viability and functions.
Yeah, and it seems that everyone is obviously talking about mirvetuximab now, but this has been going on for quite some time. If you can take us back to some of the initial studies of mirvetuximab and back in 2017, was there a correlation with folate receptor expression and outcomes?
You are right. In 2017, the first phase one expansion study reported the preliminary experience regarding the administration of MIRV in a population of patients with folate receptor alpha positive platinum-resistant ovarian cancer. MIRV is tested in a population of 46 heavily pretreated patients. Folate receptor alpha positivity was assessed by immunohistochemistry and was classified with at least 25% of tumor cells with at least 2+ staining intensity. The objective response rate was 26%, and the median progression-free survival was 4.8 months. Then, very interesting data. No significant differences was observed comparing patients with low, medium, and high folate receptor alpha expression. However, this study was not powered for these sub-analyses, and the sample size limited the value of those results.
Yeah, and then subsequent to that, I think there was a key study called the Forward One study. What did that show?
The Forward One study was designed based on the published data in 2017. The Forward One is an open label, randomized controlled phase 3 trial, including patients with 1 to 3 prior lines of therapy and folate receptor alpha positive tumors. The Forward One studies utilize the 10 pair scoring system. And according to this scoring system, only tumor with at least 50% of tumor cells with observable staining at the 10 pair magnification were included. Patients were randomized to receive MIRV or investigator's choice chemo. In the intention to treat population, MIRV did not improve progression-free survival. That was the primary endpoint of the study. And the median progression-free survival was 4.1 and 4.4 months in the mirvetuximab and chemotherapy groups, respectively. An exploratory risk scoring system using the PS2 plus scoring system suggested that MIRV was highly effective in high expressing tumors, and the use of the 10-pair system diluted the effect of MIRV by allowing the inclusion of participants with lower than expected levels of folate receptor alpha expressions.
So now, get us to the point where the more commonly known study, the SORAYA trial, what did that show?
Yes, you're right. Indeed, the SORAYA was the next study published. Two are the main studies focusing on MIRV in platinum-resistant disease in the high folate receptor alpha population, the SORAYA and the MIRASOL study. The SORAYA is a prospective phase 2 single-arm regulatory study, including about 100 patients. The SORAYA trial showed an objective response rate higher than 32%, including 5 complete response and 29 partial response. These represent a substantial improvement in the historical response to available single-agent chemo in the platinum-resistant population. More recently, the MIRASOL trial was published. This is a phase 3 trial enrolling more than 550 patients with platinum-resistant disease and high folate receptor alpha expression. Patients were randomized to receive MIRV versus chemotherapy. The objective response rate was about 32% in the MIRV arm and 16% in the chemo arm. Additionally, better progression-free survival and overall survival was reported in the MIRV arm.
Now, Giorgio, there seems to be a lot of focus, of course, obviously on platinum-resistant patients, but any data on mirvetuximab in the platinum-sensitive setting?
Yes. In 2018, Moore and colleagues reported data from a phase 1b escalation study, the Forward 2 study, testing MIRV in platinum-sensitive ovarian cancer. In this preliminary experience, 18 women with relapsed folate receptor alpha positive ovarian cancer were treated with carboplatin plus mirvetuximab. The objective response rate was 70%, while the objective response rate in the folate receptor alpha high population was 80%. To confirm the value of those promising data in the setting of platinum-sensitive disease, few phase 2 studies, including the Piccolo, Mirova, the study 420, and one phase 3 trial, the Gloriosa trial, were designed. In particular, the Gloriosa trial is a phase 3 open label study designed to evaluate the safety and the efficacy of mirvetuximab plus bevacizumab as maintenance therapy in platinum-sensitive high-grade serous ovarian cancer with high folate receptor alpha expression. The study aims to enroll more than 400 patients responding to second-line platinum-based chemo. Then patients are randomized to receive mirvetuximab plus bev as a maintenance versus mirvetuximab alone as maintenance. The estimated study completion date is in April 2029.
Fantastic. So let's get into some of the questions from our fellows in the journal. This first question is from Beatriz Navarro in the Canary Islands. And she writes, in your manuscript, you say that, quote, high folate receptor alpha expression represents a risk factor for developing resistance to chemotherapy. What's the reason for this? What did you mean by this?
Accumulating preclinical and clinical data highlighted the prognostic value of folate receptor and folate receptor alpha. High level of folate receptor correlates with poor response to platinum-based chemo, worse disease-free, and worse overall survival. High expression of folate receptor can induce drug resistance by enhancing the anti-apoptotic capabilities of tumor cells, and high expression of folate receptor alpha could inhibit the cytotoxic drug-induced apoptosis through capsaicin pathway by regulating the apoptosis-related molecule BCL2 and BEX. Basically, we assisted to a decreased expression of BEX and increased the level of BCL2 into tumor cells. Those are the preclinical observation.
Yes, interesting. Now, this next series of questions from several of our fellows from Italy. This first one comes from Ilaria Capasso, and she asks, in addition to folate receptor alpha expression, are there any differences in response to mirvetuximab based on the expression of other ovarian cancer molecular signatures, in your opinion, or according to preclinical or clinical evidence? Can you comment on potential differences mirvetuximab efficacy in relation to molecular expressions in ovarian cancer?
To date, only folate receptor expression significantly predicts response to mirvetuximab. In light of the genomic counts that represents most high-grade serous ovarian cancer, the identification of predictive biomarkers of response has been elusive and has challenged the effective adoption of predictive molecular signature in this setting. I think that an exploratory analysis of phase two and phase three trial are evaluating predictors of response, especially looking at patients with BRCA mutation and HRD. Those are the population of interest.
Very well. Diletta Fumagalli, she's asking, interesting question also. Mirvetuximab is now indicated in platinum-resistant ovarian cancer. Is a biopsy of recurrent disease required, or can the folate receptor alpha expression be tested on the previously available specimen from the upfront setting?
Yes, I agree with you. It's a very interesting point. Looking at published and ongoing trials, folate receptor alpha was assessed on archival tumor tissue block or slides obtained at the time of first diagnosis. Only patients without available tissue sample need to be sampled again using a low-risk procedures. However, I think it is important to highlight that expression of folate receptor alpha may vary over the time. Indeed, the expression of folate receptor alpha seems higher in the platinum-resistant population and in heavily pretreated patients, potentially due to that to a selection of more aggressive tumor cell clones in this population.
Interesting. Another, I think, interesting point from Elena Olearo. She wants to know about low grade. So low grade serous ovarian cancers are often among patients with poor response to chemotherapy. Do you have any specific data of mirvetuximab activity in low grade ovarian cancer?
As of now, all available data on the anti-tumor activity of MIRV primarily concentrate on high-grade serous ovarian cancer. This focus is primarily due to the prevalent occurrence of the high-grade serous ovarian cancer within the broader ovarian cancer population. Additionally, the emphasis on high-grade serous is driven by the higher likelihood of expressing elevated level of folate receptor alpha. Of note, there is an ongoing phase two randomized trial, that is the MIRORA trial, that introduced two important features. The first one is the adoption of a new platinum-sensitive definition from the GCIG group, considering as platinum-sensitive patients with a platinum-free interval of at least 3 months. And the second is the evaluation of all histological subtypes of ovarian cancer, then including low-grade ovarian tumor, but also including carcinosarcoma, that is a population that generally is often excluded by clinical trials.
Yeah. And then, Giorgio, you talked about a combination of mirvetuximab with other agents. And this question from Yossi Sewer in Canada, he's asking, considering limited data on combining mirvetuximab with chemotherapy, what are your predictions about how it may interact with other commonly used agents in ovarian cancer treatment?
Data from the two published cohorts of the Forward 2 study and preliminary evidence from ongoing trials conducted in patients with a platinum-free interval equal or greater than 6 months suggested the potential of combining MIRV with other agents, particularly with carboplatin and BEV. As mentioned previously, the combination of MIRV and carboplatin has shown objective response rate ranging between 70 and 80%. However, data regarding the safety and effectiveness of the combination of MIRV with PARP inhibitors is not yet available. In October 2023, a phase 2 study commenced to assess the combination of MIRV plus olaparib in the maintenance setting for platinum-sensitive ovarian cancer responding to platinum-B scheme. A safety lead-in phase involving 6 patients will be conducted before commencing the study. Then we have to wait the results of this ongoing experience.
Great. So I think this is a great segue into the next couple of questions. Ilaria Capasso asking about, obviously, safety profile and toxicity. She asked, do you think that the combination of more than one agent, such as mirvetuximab plus carboplatin paclitaxel and bevacizumab, or mirvetuximab with carboplatin paclitaxel and PARPs, may have too many potential toxicities in clinical practice?
Clinical trials of single-agent MIRV have shown a safety profile that primarily included low-grade gastrointestinal, neurosensory, and reversible ocular adverse events. Again, data of the Forward 2 study testing the combination of MIRV plus carboplatin or MIRV plus BEV showed that the combination is generally well-tolerated. No new safety signals were reported in the combo studies, and the toxicities appear to reflect the side effect profile of each agent. However, we have no data about combining mirvetuximab and PARP inhibitors yet.
Yeah, and to that end also, is there anything we can do to mitigate the side effects of the therapy, even in the single agent setting?
I think that the most common adverse events included ocular events, diarrhea, fatigue, nausea, vomiting, neuropathy. Most cases are grade 1 and grade 2 adverse events, and they can be managed with appropriate supportive care without sequelae. Ocular events that basically are blurred vision, keratopathy, are ADC specific and reflect several features such as antigen expression on ocular surface, the fidelity of the linker, as well as the concentration of the molecule in the tissue and its elimination. Mitigation measures are important to maintain a healthy ocular surface, thus reducing the risk of severity of these adverse events. Daily use of lubricating eye drops, periodic use of corticosteroids eye drops, and performing high examination on a regular basis are of paramount importance. Mirvetuximab has fewer serious side effects, especially those that can lead to a stopping treatment compared with standard chemo. This, coupled with an overall survival advantage, demonstrates progress and offers basically a unique opportunity for our patients.
Great. So now, this is an interesting point also from Elena Olearu. She says, given that mirvetuximab works on the apoptotic pathway in tumor necrosis, would it be worth considering mirvetuximab for neoadjuvant chemotherapy for a select group of patients expressing high levels of folate receptor alpha?
I think it is a brilliant point. An ongoing study is testing mirvetuximab in the neoadjuvant setting. In this study, eligible patients expressing a high level of folate receptor alpha will receive neoadjuvant chemo with one cycle of carboplatin, followed by mirvetuximab plus carboplatin every 21 days for 3 cycles prior to receive cytoreductive surgery. Patients will then complete 3 more cycles of mirvetuximab plus carboplatin for a total of 7 cycles of treatment. A total of 70 patients will be included in this study. Patients without BRCA mutation are not excluded from the trial, and they are allowed to receive standard of care maintenance therapy, including BEV, with or without PARP inhibitors. Then again, I think it is a brilliant idea, and we have just to wait the results of ongoing trial.
Now, this next question comes from Sabrina Piemonte in Canada, and she asks, are there subgroup analyses available comparing BRCA and non-BRCA positive patients?
Yes, there are interesting data about BRCA mutated patients. There are accumulating evidence suggesting that BRCA status influences the response to MIRV. Possibly is depending on the mechanism of action of mirvetuximab, since it works mostly influencing cell replication. A subgroup analysis of the MIRASOL study, just focusing on 75 patients, suggested that MIRV is highly effective in comparison to chemo in BRCA in BRCA mutated patients with an hazard ratio for progression of death and or death of 0.33. Similarly, there is an evidence supporting that previous exposure to PARP inhibitors correlated with a higher response rate than what is observed in an unexposed patient. Although we have no specific data on this, we can speculate that patients exposed to PARP inhibitors are more likely to have a BRCA mutation than a non-exposed one.
Yeah. Now, very interesting point here from Bella Giugelli in Georgia. She's asking, what challenges are associated with the evaluation of folate receptor alpha expression, particularly in developing and low middle income countries?
I think it is important to highlight that the evaluation of folate receptor alpha expression is essential for the process of patient selection. Even though this evaluation involves immunohistochemistry that is not so much costly, it may represent a significant challenge in some countries, since facilities are needed to implement this test into clinical practice and pathologists need to be trained.
Yes. So now, Yossi Suhr asks about how about using mirvetuximab in first-line treatment in ovarian cancer?
Mirvetuximab is a game-changer medication for ovarian cancer population. I think it will have a role in first line of maintenance setting for high folate receptor alpha expressing patients. Studies testing MIRV plus carboplatin with or without either agents are ongoing in the neoadjuvant setting and in the platinum sensitive setting. We have to wait these results before introducing MIRV in the first line. However, I am pretty sure that MIRV will be included in our first line of armamentarium.
Yeah. And then now, Giorgio, Sabrina Biamonte from Canada, she's she's asking, of course, obviously, there's a lot of exciting ongoing trials. And in light of these promising findings that we have with mirvetuximab, is there a way that we can get some more immediate decision-making models, particularly in the patients of platinum-resistant setting and in the platinum-sensitive setting?
It is a very important question. I'm thinking that after the results of the SORAYA and the MIRASOL studies, there is no doubt that mirvetuximab represents the new standard of care for tumors that are expressing folate receptor alpha high in ovarian cancer patients with a platinum-free interval less than 6 months. Although mirvetuximab showed promising anti-tumor activity in both platinum-resistant and platinum-sensitive setting, no strong evidence is still supporting the adoption of MIRV in patients with a platinum-sensitive disease yet. Further evidence will clarify how to design the most appropriate treatment strategies.
Yeah. And then, Jojo, as a last question, and a question we often ask, Bella Jugali is asking, with the information that we have today, tell us how you work mirvetuximab into the management of your patients with ovarian cancer today.
The introduction of mirvetuximab provides significant changes in the current landscape of treatment of platinum-resistant ovarian cancer. In November 2022, the FDA granted accelerated approval to MIRV for the treatment of adult patients with folate receptor alpha positive platinum-resistant ovarian cancer. The FDA decision was supported by the data from the SORAYA trial, and recently the MIRASOL served as confirmatory trial following the ADC accelerated approval from the FDA. More recently, even the European Medicines Agency has accepted a marketing authorization application seeking the approval of MIRV for the treatment of patients with folate receptor alpha positive platinum-resistant ovarian cancer. Hence, I think that MIRV will be a unique opportunity for our patient to date, and I'm pretty sure that it will change our clinical practice.
Giorgio Bugani, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for obviously having an opportunity to discuss this manuscript and the details pertaining to mirvetuximab and how it is really impacting the management of patients with ovarian cancer. I also want to thank you again, obviously, for submitting it to our journal. I think it's a really great review and worth reading. And I also, again, want to thank you for all that you have contributed in the past as well to gynecologic oncology. Always a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, Pedro. It was a pleasure for me. It's a pleasure for me. Thank you so much.